at some point in the horizon somewhere, you can see like 20 miles, 40 miles. You see something super far off in the distance. And so that ended up being one thing that I very clearly wanted to try to represent in sound.
From Wyoming Public Media, this is The Modern West. I'm Micah Schweitzer. The Mountain West has a distinct sound. Tough work and dramatic landscapes inspire musicians of all sorts. This month, we'll hear from conductors, directors, singer-songwriters, and even world record-holding weightlifters. Nicole Lamartine has been the director of choral activities at the University of Wyoming since 2008. She conducts and gives seminars around the world, and she's a highly regarded singer in her own right. But as Wyoming Public Radio's Bob Beck discovers, Lamartine also has a hidden talent.
Relax the corners of your mouth inwards. There we go.
This is the singing statesman at the University of Wyoming rehearsing before a recent performance. They are under the direction of one of the top conductors in the country.
Nicole Lamartine, and I'm director of choral activities at the University of Wyoming.
And you're a weightlifter.
And I'm a weightlifter. I guess so.
And a pretty good one. Here she is conducting a back squat workout where she squats with a barbell loaded with heavy weight across her back. She currently holds the world record by squatting 265 pounds. Here's the thing. She's slightly over 4 feet 11 inches tall, weighs 121 pounds, and she's in her 40s. Being an athlete is also a relatively new thing for her.
I was the chubby one who sang in choir. But, you know, I'm blessed with great genes. I get these tree trunk legs from my dad and my broad shoulders from my mom, and I guess I just have some good genes.
Things changed in 2011 when her husband convinced her to try CrossFit.
I loved the mental aspect of it, that you have to be so focused for a short time, you know, and you know the pain's going to be over. And every workout is a challenge, and I discovered a lot about myself in terms of what I could do physically and what I had to do mentally. It was great.
Lamartine eventually became a CrossFit trainer and then moved into powerlifting. That went okay. After her first meet, she qualified for the national competition. For her age group, she holds national records in the bench press and deadlift, and as mentioned, the world record in the back squat.
To be able to accomplish a goal or to try a weight that I've never tried before in competition and do it, oh my gosh, it's the best feeling ever.
Her coach, Don Robbins, has been amazed by her progress.
You wonder about things like her age. You know, she's 40 years old, and, you know, the fact that she's able to do these things and at that age is really surprising. To me, the age factor is much more surprising than the size.
Robbins says she's far from her peak. He predicts that when she competes in the national competition in July, she'll set even more records. University of Wyoming Music Department Chair Teresa Bogard is not surprised by any of this.
It's this energy, but coupled with the strive for excellence. And I think that's probably why she's been so successful in her weightlifting as well. It's the same kind of personality trait that makes her wonderful in every part of her life.
In both music and weightlifting, Lamartine says breath is key.
In choir, we make our sounds through our voices, and it's powered by our breath. And here in the gym, if I'm not breathing well, I don't lift well. So it's just corroborated my thought that breath is this driving life force, no matter what the context.
Care, sorrow, now be gone.
Oh,
Martine is affectionately known as Dr. Law around the music department, and her singers rave about the influence she's had on them and the energy she brings to every rehearsal. Senior Michael Morgan says they know all about the weightlifting.
I think it's great. I love it. Yeah. I love it. As soon as I learned that she was into the weightlifting thing, we got together during one of our, a retreat, and we made her bench press one of the smaller guys because we knew she could do it. We wanted to see it. So it was great.
That's it.
For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Bob Beck.
Stacy Foster and Alicia Kraft from Encampment, Wyoming, have paired up to weave banjo, harmonica, guitar, and harmonies into tough but pretty songs in their new Americana duo, Whippoorwill. Their debut album consists of 6 stick-it-to-your-heart songs, including one called Cold Blue.
trapped in a bird.
You can find a video of Whippoorwill performing Cold Blue live at wyomingpublicmedia.org. Now let's take a listen to the work of composer Tyler Gilmore. I spoke with him about his piece A Rambling Stretch, which has brought together many strands of Gilmore's life. He grew up in Wyoming, and his musical career has taken him to Colorado, Boston, and on to his eventual home in Brooklyn. And as he's made those moves, Gilmore has begun to realize how much Wyoming has shaped him and his music.
It wasn't really till I moved to the East Coast, till I was in Boston, where all of a sudden my Wyomingness was very apparent. For one, Wyoming can be a double-edged sword. It can be an introvert's paradise, but also when you want to be extroverted, you know, there's
you have to drive
so
4 hours to find someone.
Yeah, yeah, and you have. But when you want to be with yourself and with your thoughts, there's so much space to do it. And I think that's really special. I see kids who grow up in big cities on the East Coast, and it's harder to find that space. And it's also harder to select what you want to focus on if you have the energy to really focus on something, because oftentimes they're doing a million different things all at once. And I was able to, in Riverton, just have the time and space to get into music and then get really into music.
That really challenges the narrative that one needs to be in some sort of city with a quote-unquote scene to mm-hmm. actually get into something like music.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And again, a double-edged sword. I came out of Wyoming and Colorado having studied some things really, really intensely, but also being really ignorant of a whole other world of artistic and musical things that were happening. And it wasn't until I left Colorado and went to Boston, and they kind of just really broke open my sense of scope.
In 2013, Tyler Gilmore came back to Wyoming with a photographer to lay the groundwork for A Rambling Stretch. It's a composition that's allowed him to claim his Wyoming voice.
And I felt like the landscapes and the texture of the landscapes and the people were something that could very directly, through those photographs, communicate to an audience along with the music what the connection was between being there and growing up there and how I thought my composing had been affected by that. I really wanted the photographs to resonate with what was happening musically. And it was a really interesting process. The photographer I brought, his name's Gary Isaacs. He's a great photographer. He had never really been to this part of Wyoming. I think he had been to Wyoming a bit, but not to Riverton, not to the Wind River area. And so it was fascinating to hear him talk through what he was seeing as it went along, because I was also learning a lot about the place and seeing it with new eyes, having been away.
What's something that stood out to you?
One thing I had been thinking a lot about before I came back was the idea of distance in landscape. At any point when you're outside, at some point in the horizon somewhere, you can see like 20 miles, 40 miles. You see something super far off in the distance, mountains, hills, who knows, clouds. And you just get used to seeing that and expecting to see that. You go out east, you rarely see more than a block away. And so that ended up being one thing that I very clearly wanted to try to represent in sound.
So in addition to the music and the natural sound from your visit to Wyoming, you've also got photos and video playing, and you've performed this on the East Coast where, to many people, Wyoming is far away and exotic.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like now to bring this home where people may very well recognize what they're seeing in the pictures and in the video.
Well, it's really special. There's kind of a funny thing that happens in the arts world a lot where artists will do essentially what I'm doing. At some point, they'll realize they want to deal with the things that were special about where they grew up, but they'll live in a city now, and they'll go back and do what I've done. They'll take things and create an artwork out of it. Then they'll take it back to the city and perform it there, and then that's all that'll happen, and it'll never actually make it back to the people. So in that way, it's just super exciting to be able to not just fit into that mold and bring it back to people and who actually are experiencing the things that led to the piece. And also, you know, it's nerve-wracking because it's people who are going to know some of the references. There are photos within Riverton. People might say, like, oh, hey, that's my brother's house. That's weird. And, you know, things like that. But yeah, it's really exciting.
The 12-piece jazz band performing a rambling stretch features players from every part of Tyler Gilmore's musical life, Wyoming, Colorado, Boston, and Brooklyn.
It ended up being a cross-section of every musical community I've dipped into in my years as a musician. Musically, it's going to have some depth. This is a wide variety of people. And I reworked some of the music with this group of people in mind.
It sounds like in so many ways, this tour, this music, and the fact that it's happening in Wyoming is in some ways this summation of you up until this point. Is that a fair assessment?
That's a lot to put on it. I mean, that's probably right. I don't know. It's hard being the person in it to think of it that way.
It just sounds like it brings together so many different strands of your own just life and, of course, of your creative pursuits.
I mean, it's going to be amazing. It's going to bring a lot of things together.
That's an excerpt of A Rambling Stretch by composer Tyler Gilmore. Gilmore was on tour last fall, taking the work to the very Wyoming landscapes that inspired it. Let's turn now from music inspired by external landscapes to music inspired by the inner world. James Ulm is a professor of voice and musical theater at Casper College, and he's the writer and composer of a new musical called Mulberry. He tells Wyoming Public Radio's Caroline Ballard that the inspiration to write the show actually came from a difficult time in his own life.
Honestly, it started right after that I had gone through divorce. And so it was a time where I was doing a lot of self-reflection and a lot of time just reflecting on my past. And so the show itself, it's not about me. Believe me, it's not about me. I'm not interesting enough. But it's set in my hometown. Everything in the show exists in my hometown. And so I took reflections of those and tried to really start investigating questions like what it is to be a man, how do you approach social values and how they change and how you deal with that.
And it is set in a small town in Wisconsin.
Right.
I suppose the present moment in it is in the late 90s, but there's many flashbacks. Mm-hmm. And it's telling the story primarily of this family. Bear is the patriarch, and he's reflecting on his relationships with his two sons and his wife. How did you explore these characters?
The whole thing started, the thrust of it, was things that I experienced in my childhood, specifically in the 1960s. Whitewater, like University of Wyoming, has a school there that was really pretty actively involved in the 1960s. And specifically, there was one thing that happened that was very powerful to me when I was in middle school, and that was that there was some protest, and then there was a fire that was lit up in the major union of the university there, the University of Whitewater. And it got out of control, and it burned down Old Main. And there actually was some loss of life in that, including one fireman. And that hit me very, very strongly. And it just kind of, I didn't quite understand what everything was going on with this time in the 1960s. But then once my brother turned 18, which was very soon after that, then there was, at that time, there was a draft lottery. And my brother and all of us were sitting in the living room waiting to find out what his number was going to be for the draft. And it turned out to be a very, very low number. And I remember all of those feelings going into that. And that was a major thrust for me for investigating this whole thing. And so the show actually started when I first started writing it. It actually started from the viewpoint of a 12-year-old child and how they react to all of these things that they have no control and no power over. But after a while, that kind of shifted, and it's now the focus of the father.
I think that's really interesting because it reminds me of how this whole musical kind of sounds. Like, you think of Wisconsin Dairy Farm, and the first thing that I think of is kind of Aaron Copland, that sort of folk music. And when you listen to the music in this, it's definitely a little bit different. There's some electric guitar. There's a little bit more of an angst to it.
Yes.
Why did you decide to do that?
I don't analyze it really a lot. I just kind of go with my gut instincts. And my gut instincts was, especially when we were getting into the 1960s, I mean, that was such a powerful rock and roll rooted decade. And so not to have that, it seemed not natural. It seemed unnatural. It's kind of parallels the angst of that decade. And I think it also parallels real well the angst of the 1940s, where our other flashbacks are with World War II. And it's this uncertainty, that's this unsettledness within our souls that it's going on at that time. And electric guitar does a great job of doing that.
Just don't get it, do you? You choose to close your eyes to the fact that there's so much more than you care to remember.
Here with James Ulm, the composer of a new musical that's going to be premiering in Wyoming in April. I want to get a little bit into the production of this.
Mm-hmm.
Much of it is told through flashbacks. How do you manage that when you're putting on a production like this?
Well, I'm going to leave that up to the director. It's a tough show. My mentor, Arthur Girone, he was very strong in doing that type of thing in his work, to have flashbacks and to allow the audience to be able to imagine. We're kind of in a theatrical society right now where everything is expected to be so realistic. But I think that that's going to be an important part of it, that there's going to be this ebb and flow of the waves of time that we can kind of go in and go out. Kind of the way that Christmas Carol did with Scrooge, where Scrooge would actually visit the past, but then he actually came into the past and started talking with them, even though they didn't hear it.
You know, looking to the future, what are you hoping for this?
Well, I had a show in 2011 that opened off Broadway. It was called The Magdalene. And that really was my main dream goal, was to get a show opening off Broadway. It wasn't even Broadway. But now I've had a taste of that. And so I have to keep writing. And this is the next show that happened to be... It's time. But then if it doesn't happen, well, then I'll just keep writing and maybe it'll be the next one.
James Ulm, composer of new musical Mulberry and music theater and voice instructor at Casper College. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Really appreciate you taking the time.
That's James Ulm speaking with Caroline Ballard. Mulberry premiered in April.
Let's wrap up the show with a live studio performance by Sweetwater String Band, a bluegrass group with a deep twist. Instead of the usual fiddle, the quartet has a cello player. The four men started playing together in California back in 2008 and created their signature sound, cello-driven High Sierra Soulgrass. Here's one called Flood.
Mountains gonna burn, rivers gonna rise, flood gonna bury this city one night. No dam gonna hold me in, no dam gonna hold me back. Big river on an old floodplain, big river like a freight train. You can hear that whistle, you can hear that rail, you can hear it call like a ringing bell. Nobody gonna change their way, nobody gonna take a stand. Big money guy, you all pay. Big money till you die in day. Big city of stars, big city of lights, big city of angels bid you all good night. Heaven got a worthy cause, yeah, heaven gonna call us all. Ain't nothing that you can do but step in line and follow through. Mountains gonna burn, rivers gonna rise, floods gonna bury this city one night. No damn gonna hold me in, no damn gonna hold. Big river on an old floodplain, big river like a freight train. Well, the man in the suit, he ain't got no proof. Yeah, he wears his lies like a parachute. Think that's gonna save your soul? Well, I'm sorry, man, but the mountain's cold and the wind don't stop at night. It blows on and on until the broad daylight. Shackles and chains and the mirror stains. Your one last dollar on down the drain. Ain't never gonna get it back. Yeah, stolen life right through the cracks. Don't listen to the preacher, man. He'll take your last dime for his next sin. Mountains gonna burn, rivers gonna rise, floods gonna bury this city one night. No dam gonna hold me back. Big river on an old floodplain, big river like a freight train.
Sweetwater String Band wrapping up this edition of The Modern West. You can catch our next episode on the third Tuesday of the month. And if you like what you hear, we'd appreciate a positive rating. In the meantime, you can find lots more stories about The Modern West at our website, wyomingpublicmedia.org. John Wiebe produced this podcast. Anna Rader is our web editor. The theme music is by Jeff Troxell, and I'm Micah Schweitzer. The Modern West is a production of Wyoming Public Media.